keep coming. I didn't bring my balloon. It is Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the Christian church as we know it. And I know normally, probably on this day, and I've done it myself a lot in the past, we're probably a lot of people probably preaching from Acts chapter 2, but I'm going at it from an Old Testament angle. I want you to turn to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36. I want to talk to us for a few minutes this morning about what happens when the Holy Spirit shows up. What happens when the Holy Spirit shows up? And we find some words here. Of course, Prophet Ezekiel is relaying the message from God to the people of Israel. And we begin reading in verse 22, and it says this: "Therefore say to the house of Israel, this is what the Lord God says. It is not for your sake that I will act, house of Israel, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. I will honor the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. The nations will know that I am the Lord. This is the declaration of the Lord God. When I demonstrate my holiness through you in their sight." And I want you to remember that phrase. When I demonstrate my holiness through you in the sight of all the other people. "For I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and will bring you into your own land. I will also sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave your fathers. You will be my people, and I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanness." Father, this is your word, and I just ask your blessing on it today. Use it for your glory and for your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. I love this verse in this translation. "The nations will know that I am the Lord. This is the declaration of the Lord God when I demonstrate my holiness through you in their sight." We are called to be a holy people. And we only do that, we're only able to do that when we experience the power and the presence of God's Holy Spirit living inside of us. That's what Pentecost was all about. If you fast forward into the New Testament in the book of Acts and you look at what actually happened on that day of Pentecost. Pentecost was an annual festival. See, this is what a lot of people don't seem to understand. They thought when we think of Pentecost, people think, oh, just that one time. No, Pentecost was a feast that happened every year. And it was one of the feasts that Jews were required to be at. So it happened every year, and it happened in Jerusalem every year. So it wasn't anything unusual to have Pentecost, because that was a yearly holiday, so to speak. But what was unusual was what happened on this day of Pentecost. When everyone else was going about their ordinary Pentecost business, when they were enjoying the feast and when they were taking in the sights of the town and in the parades, all the other kinds of things that went along with that. But there were 120 followers of Jesus in an upper room across town somewhere that experienced Pentecost in a whole different way. And it says when they were in that room waiting, as Jesus had instructed them to do, that while they were waiting and they were praying and they were waiting on the promise, not having any idea what it was going to look like, all of a sudden it says a sound as of a rushing mighty wind filled that place. what appeared to be tongues of fire came down and sat above the heads of every person in that room, and they were all able to speak in languages they had never spoken before, so that the people outside the room and in the streets of the city could understand the message of the gospel. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But what did it look like? What did God say he would do in the Old Testament when he's talking about the prophecy leading up to that? How does God demonstrate his holiness in our lives to other people? Those are the things we're going to look at today. And the first one is this. He said, I'm going to separate my people. When the Holy Spirit shows up, he will separate his people. Look at verse 24 of our text this morning. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries, and I will bring you into your own land. I will bring you into the land that I have promised you. So there's two things going on here. He's separating them, first of all, from all of their unholiness, all the uncleanness around them. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to share a couple verses from there with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Begin with verse 14. Don't become partners with those who do not believe. For what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? What fellowship does light have with darkness? What agreement does Christ have with Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? And what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. So therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch any unclean thing, and I will welcome you. Do we understand today that there are things that we're not going to take part in, and we're not going to be a part of if we are living as God's holy people who are called to be holy, and we are separated from the things of the world? Now, that doesn't mean we go live in some commune somewhere and we just decide, well, this is our family right now, this is our group, so we're just all going to move to the church, we're going to live there, we're going to lock the doors and not let anybody from the outside world come in. That's not what it means. When Jesus is praying for his disciples in the Gospel of John, what does he pray? He prays to the Heavenly Father that he would protect them while they're in the world, that they had to be in the world, but they weren't of the world. That's how our life is supposed to be. You see, we are supposed to live a holy example in front of other people so that those who don't know Christ can come to know Christ because of our example. That's what God is talking about here when he says, I'm going to demonstrate my holiness to the other people around through your life. We're described as ambassadors of Christ. And how in the world are people around us, how are the lost people around us going to know anything about Christ if they don't see him working in and through us? You see, when we become a Christian, when we get saved, when the Holy Spirit fills our hearts and lives, there are things that we don't take part in anymore. Not just because it's in a rule book somewhere, but because those things don't honor God. Touch no unclean thing. Come out from among them and be separate. So when the Holy Spirit shows up, he's going to separate us from the unclean things around us and help us not to be captive to those things anymore. The Holy Spirit gives us power to overcome those things. But he not only separates us from the world, he separates us to himself. Look what he says, I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. I am who you say I am. How? By the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And when the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, then other people see that our lives are different than they were before, if they've known us very long, or they see that our lives are different than other people around us, and they start thinking, what in the world's going on? What's going on is the Holy Spirit has control of your life. And you're walking after the Spirit rather than walking after the flesh. He's going to separate his people. The second thing he's going to do, it says in verse 25, is he's going to cleanse his people. I will sprinkle you with clean water, and you will be clean. Now, think about this. How many of you want to take a, if we're taking a shower, how many of us want to take a shower in dirty water? We don't want to do that, do we? Why? Because it defeats the purpose. God says, I'm going to sprinkle you with clean water. My Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and water is a symbol that is used to represent the Holy Spirit. So God says, I'm going to sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. God tells us that we can be clean and pure from the things, from the evil things, the sinful things in the world around us. I'm going to cleanse you from your filthiness, every sort of external and internal pollution. What kinds of things pollute our lives? Just ask that. What kind of things pollute our lives if we allow them to? There's all kinds of stuff. And for you, it's going to be different than me. What is pollution? And what I mean by pollution, what are those things that draw us farther away from Christ? What are those things that I allow in my life that hinder me from being in the relationship that God wants to have with me? Pollution, internal and external. I stop doing the things externally that maybe I used to do. Maybe I don't go to those places anymore. Maybe I don't partake in certain things anymore that I used to partake in. But we're cleansed from the internal pollution by the Holy Spirit coming in and cleansing us and purifying our hearts. He will cleanse us from all of our filthiness. It says he will cleanse us from all of our idols, all of those false gods, all of that false worship, false opinions, all the false hopes that we have. God says, I'm going to take all those things out of you, and I'm going to separate you from them if you will let me. Do you have any idols in your life? You know, I'm guessing I'm not going to walk in anybody's house and find like a statue of Buddha or Muhammad or anything like that. Those are the things that we refer to as idols back in the Old Testament and different things. But you know what? What are the idols in my life today? Who are the idols in my life today? Is it Dak Prescott? And if you're a Cowboys fan, it's not. But let's stop and think about that. Have you ever known someone whose love of sports became an idol in their life? Have you ever known of someone whose love of hunting in the outdoors became an idol in their life? You see, really anything that we put between ourselves and God or allow to come between ourselves and God becomes an idol. Anything we give more importance than we give God in our life, that's an idol to me. He says, I'm going to cleanse you from all of that, all the false God, false worship, your false opinions, all these things. I can take it away, but you have to let me. When my Spirit shows up, I'm going to cleanse my people. I'm going to make them pure. I'm going to make them holy. He then goes on to say in verse 26 that he's going to change the hearts of his people. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. He's going to change the heart. Why? Now, I preached last week about what it means to be like Jesus. In our affections, in our attitudes, in our actions. The Holy Spirit comes, changes the heart. That means my affections, the things that are important to me, change in my life. My priorities begin to change because I want to be more like Christ and less like the world. He He says, I'm going to change the hearts of my people. He gives us a new heart, it says. He changes the old sinful heart of stone. It says he takes that out and he gives us a new heart, a heart of flesh. You see, the old heart is cold and it's hard. You ever pick up a stone? Just when you get home today, we got rocks everywhere. All right, just go out and pick up a rock. What's it like? It's hard. It doesn't give. It doesn't move. There's no flexibility to it. It's cold. You're unable to penetrate that rock at all unless you just take a really big hammer or something and just break it into pieces, and then that's exactly what happens. It's so hard that it just shatters and breaks into pieces. That's what our heart is like before Christ. That's what our heart is like before the Holy Spirit comes and changes us. But he says, I'm going to give you a new heart. The old heart's cold and hard. It's set in its ways. It's not interested in godly or spiritual things. It's a heart that is me-oriented and self-centered. I want this. I want that. I don't care about this. I don't care. Me. That's the heart of stone. That's the selfish, self-centered heart. But the new heart, the heart of flesh, is completely different. Why? The heart of flesh is pliable. It's softer. It's capable of feeling. I can take a big rock and I can set it down and hit it with a sledgehammer as hard as I can. That rock's not going to feel a thing. And our hearts can get that way if we're not careful. But God says, I'm going to give you a new heart that's capable of feeling, a new heart that's incapable of enjoying life, a new heart that's incapable of experiencing love for God and other people. It's a new heart with a new attitude, with new desires and new passions. The new heart that God gives us displays a passion and a hunger that can only be filled and satisfied by God. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What does my heart have to be like before I hunger and thirst after righteousness, though? It has to be completely sold out to God and sanctified and filled with His Spirit. Otherwise, it seeks after worldly things, not the things of God. It has to be changed. He then goes on to say, I'm going to give my people a new spirit. This new spirit does a few things for us. The Holy Spirit, when we receive the Holy Spirit of God, what does it do? It renews our minds, for one thing. It changes our thinking process. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Renewing of the mind. We think differently. I got to go over here to Ephesians chapter 1. I want to read some scripture there for you in just a minute. The new spirit renews our minds. So I begin thinking like Christ instead of thinking like my old self. But you can't have a renewed mind without a new spirit. This new spirit then enlightens our understanding. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading with verse 15. This is a prayer. This is a prayer that Paul is praying for the church in Ephesus. Listen to what he says. This is why, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I never stop giving thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that God, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that what? So that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what is the wealth of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the mighty working of His strength. Before we receive the Holy Spirit, we have eyes that see from a worldly point of view. We're looking at the material. We're looking at the things we want to achieve in life. We're looking at that next promotion. We're looking at that next raise. We're looking at retirement. We're looking at all the different things. We're seeing things completely from a worldly point of view. But Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that now we can begin to see spiritual things like what is the hope of my calling. What is the inheritance, the wealth of his glorious inheritance in the saints? What is the immeasurable greatness of his power? Immeasurable means what? It can't be measured. Stop and think about this. The Holy Spirit, when he fills our lives, if we allow him, if we surrender completely to him, and he's in control of our life, it says we have an immeasurable power at work within us. So why don't we live that way? Why don't I live in that sense of power? Why don't I live in that level of power? You know why? Because I allow his power to be hindered or thwarted in my own life by something. Or I don't believe, I question whether it's real. I question whether it's possible. But a new spirit gives us new eyes that help us see things from a spiritual understanding, and the world becomes a whole different place. This new spirit also corrects our judgment. Our personal, moral, and ethical judgment changes as a result of his spirit abiding within us. God says, I want to put my spirit within you so that my spirit can influence your new heart. A new heart does no good if it's governed by the human spirit instead of the Holy Spirit. I mean, it does us no good if we're just going to keep living by the same principles, if we're going to keep living the same kind of lifestyle, if we've not decided that we want the Holy Spirit to be in control of our life. Our judgments change. It corrects our thoughts. It corrects what we think about what's right and wrong. I mean, look at the world around us. Look at even our own country, the nation we live in. And when I see and hear on the news the things that politicians and lobbyists are trying to enact, the policies that they're trying to enact, and I'm thinking, there's obviously no moral compass or no moral or spiritual judgment going on in some of these people's lives. I don't know how we can even talk about some of the stuff we're talking about. You want to see people's judgment, and if you want to see people's priorities change, if you want to see people start focusing on right instead of wrong, we need to pray for a Holy Ghost revival, a reliving, a reenactment of Pentecost. And finally, when the Holy Spirit shows up, he'll enable us to live a holy life. He says, I will cause you to walk in my statutes. I will cause you to walk in my statutes. Now, does that mean he's going to force us? No, God's not going to force us to do anything. But he will put in our hearts a desire to walk after him instead of walking after the world. You will keep my judgments. What does that tell me? What does that mean to me? Saw something on Facebook the other day, and I shared it a couple weeks ago. It just, I don't know, got me a little bit of flack, not too much. He says, I will cause you to keep my judgments. What's that mean? It means I live by the word. You know what this little thing said? It just said, you know what? If the Bible calls it sin, it's sin. Your opinion doesn't matter. Oh, well, that's pretty blunt, but it's pretty true, so. You see, here's the judgment that matters. Yeah, we have to make decisions. We have to look at all different aspects of the situation we're in and make decisions. But you know what? Our decisions need to be based on this. Not what my representative says, not what the Supreme Court says, not what the President of the United States says. my judgments and my decisions and choices need to be based on what this word says. He says, you'll be a holy people and I will be your God. You'll be my people and I will be your God. He says, I will deliver you. I'll set you free from all your uncleanness. You see, when the Holy Spirit shows up, he changes our lives. But what must happen in order for him to show up? What has to happen in order for him to show up? Pretty simple. We have to invite him. Oh, he's here. The Holy Spirit's everywhere. But in order for us to really experience his presence, I have to open my heart and invite him to come in. But we also have to open our doors, open the hearts, and invite him to come into our church. You know how that happens? By each and every one of us opening the door of our heart and letting him come in. Why? Because we're the church. It's not this building. This is where we meet. This is where we come to have worship. The church is each and every one of us. And we need the presence of God's Holy Spirit in each and every one of us so that he can demonstrate his holiness through us to the people around us. So I don't know for how long, but for the next, till God tells me to do something different, God is really, I feel like God's really impressed me to, starting today on Pentecost Sunday with this message, we're going to be looking in depth at what it means to live life in the Spirit. What does it mean to live in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit? And I just want us this morning to think about what this scripture tells us, what happens when the Holy Spirit shows up. And I want us to think about the fact that in order for us to really experience his presence, we have to invite him and ask him in. And that's what, as we get ready to close, I want Blenda to come back to the piano. I'd like for the group to join me on the platform. We're going to sing this song. And here's what I'd like you to do. I'm not trying to get people just to come to an altar. I'm not trying to do that to make myself feel better about anything. But here's what I want us to do. As we sing this song, if this is the prayer that you want for our church, if this is the prayer that you want for your own life, maybe we could just gather around the altar and have our closing prayer there. But here's what this song says, Come Holy Spirit. It's hymn number 308 if you want to follow along in the hymnal. Come Holy Spirit. And if that's your prayer this morning, would you just come and gather around the altar as we sing and we'll have our closing prayer together before we leave. Let's invite him to come into our church, into our lives, and have complete authority.
Come as a wisdom to children. Come as new sight to the blind. Come, Lord, as strength in my weakness. Take me, soul, body, and mind. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, strength and your power. Come in your own gentle way.
I'm just going to sing that chorus, just the chorus, one more time, then we're going to pray together.
Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, strength. gentle way.
Holy Spirit, that is our prayer today. Would you come and change our hearts? Would you come and cleanse us and make us pure? Would you help us to surrender our hearts and lives completely to you? To give you full authority and to give you full control? Would you give us a heart that hungers and thirsts after righteousness? A desire to live a life that's holy and pleasing in your sight. But most of all, Father, would you come through the power and the presence of your Spirit and demonstrate your holiness through our lives to those people around us. Oh God, this church, we need you. We are the church. We need your presence. We need your power. We want to be a church that is alive and on fire for you. We want to be a church where people can come and sense the presence and the power of your Spirit. We want to be a church where people can come and their lives be changed. We want to be a church where people can come and find you and find love and find acceptance and find new life. So God, we just pray that we would move self out of the way and allow you to be God and do what you do, do what you want to do in and through us. And thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here with us. And I thank you now for the lives that we're going to see changed in the future through the ministries of our church, through the power of your Spirit. God, we love you and thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.